This is Freedom First, and I'm Jeffrey Tucker. Today, I think I'd like to talk to you about logic and fallacies. One fallacy in particular. It's a well-known fallacy called post hoc ergo propter hoc. That's Latin, and it means after this, therefore, because of this. Oh, it's not a principle, as some people say. It's not a principle. The principle of post hoc ergo propter hoc. No, it's not a principle. It is a fallacy. You cannot conclude that just because something comes after something else, that that first thing caused the second thing. The most classic example of the post hoc ergo propter hoc fallacy is the rooster and the sunrise. All right, just to illustrate the point. The rooster crows, the sun comes up. You might think, wow, that rooster is causing the sun to come up. And you see it every day, every day. The crowing of the rooster, the sun rising, you conclude that one causes the other. And the association's very tight in your mind, you know, from childhood. Wow, where's that rooster? Well, he's causing the sun to come up. That's it. It's not, I mean, it sounds crazy to us, maybe. We laugh, say, oh, that's silly. But actually, it's not entirely nuts. It kind of makes sense in a way. And if somebody comes along and says, well, let's test it. Let's get rid of the rooster and see if the sun still comes up. Well, is that going to work? Not necessarily. What if there's a rooster a couple miles down the road that you can't hear that is causing the sun to go up? You see, once you get a theory of cause and effect in your mind, it's very difficult to dislodge your mind of that and believe anything else. It's just necessarily true. The post hoc ergo propter hoc fallacy is a very common one in all of science. In fact, most of science couldn't even work without it. A lot of science consists of gathering data about some variable and looking at some result through some variable and connecting the two through statistical methods. This is a process that's very much fraught with error. You can't say that just because such and such happened, therefore it caused the following thing. I tell you, over the last several years, we've seen an unbelievable explosion in the post hoc ergo propter hoc fallacy. In fact, I don't know, 75%, 90%, 99% of most studies on COVID are dealing and trading in this fallacy. I remember early on in the pandemic, you would see things like, oh, look, mitigation efforts in California became very strict. They kicked everybody off the beaches and not let anybody meet in homes. You can't go to church. Everybody's staying in their homes. They have stay home orders. And look, the cases are down. See, the cases are down. So the mitigation is working. You see the fallacy at work here? One thing happens, and then another thing happens. You think one caused the other. There's a number of problems with concluding that. I mean, one of which is that we actually had no idea what the cases were. Now, even I was fooled by this, right? I mean, I would go online. We've all become skeptical of basically everything in the meantime, and also all of us were a little bit naive in those days. I mean, I didn't think myself naive, but I kind of believed things I shouldn't have believed. One of the things I believed was that the charts on cases were somehow accurate. Why did I think that? Why did I think you could look at a line on a website and think that that was an accurate reflection of infections? I mean, there's a number of contingencies here. Are you testing enough people to know that? In what area? Is it all areas? Is it all over the state of California? Is it just in one area and extrapolate it out? What tests are you using? PCR tests are famously full of inaccurate information. They test for the presence of a virus, not an infection, not a case. I mean, why do we think this chart had anything to do with anything? And then you had the reporting problems. The test results had to go to the government, and the government had to report it back to the CDC, and the CDC distributed it out to all the websites. I mean, there's a lot that could go wrong in that process. Those numbers were just ridiculous. They fooled even me. I mean, I can't, looking back at it, I can't believe I believed this stuff. I guess I wasn't cynical enough or something. Anyway, even if you pause it, that the cases were correct, the case accounts were correct, and that the lines were correct. Do we know for sure they're caused by mitigation? No, of course not. I mean, may have had no effect mitigation efforts may have no effect whatsoever. In fact, we know for sure now, looking back, that we know that it didn't. It's hard to find any evidence of any consistent relationship between virus spread and mitigation efforts. But we just can't find it. I mean, we've been at work at this for 4 years and seen too many anomalies. Anyway, it was a post hoc ergo propter hoc fallacy. Another example of this would be, you remember after the vaccine came out, many people were still confessing online, many famous people. Oh, I just wanted to let you know that I've gotten COVID. My case is mild. I'm so grateful for the vaccine, because if it weren't for the vaccine, it would have been worse. I'm sorry, but there's no way you can know that. Just because you had a mild case doesn't mean the vaccine caused your mild case, all right? That's post hoc ergo propter hoc fallacy. It's just simply untrue. Or it might be true, but just saying that one thing followed another thing didn't cause it to be true. You might have had a mild case in any case. You may never have gotten COVID, or you might have gotten COVID and not known it. You would have been even more mild. So there's no way to know this. There's just people are saying crazy things every single day. Or the case of the masks were another similar thing. Oh, look, they put on masks, oh, cases went down. Well, okay. I remember one famous study claiming that was very careful in the selection of dates. It cut off the dates before and after to make it look as if that were true. But if you extended the graph to the left a little bit and to the right a little bit, you found cases exploding even with the masks. So that's not true either. I'm just telling you, my friends, so much of the science over the last 4 years has come out that have been trafficking in fallacy. It's not just infectious disease and COVID. It's true in economics, too. People frequently say, oh, look, unemployment is down. This guy is president. The new president must be causing this. Well, that may be true, may not be true. Or inflation's down or up. This is because so-and-so is in office. That may not be true. The things that's actually causing the economic effect may trace back to the previous administration or may have nothing to do with the president whatsoever and is entirely under the control of the Federal Reserve. Just because something happened at the same time as something else or something happened right before somebody else doesn't mean that the cause of it. Now, just to illustrate just how important this fallacy is, I've been thinking a lot about medicine recently because I think my impression is that practical medicine is just replete with this problem. I was reading about the history of bleeding, for example. Okay, so we know now, at least we think we know, that bleeding was a really bad idea that injures the chance of recovery for the sick person. If that's true, why was it practiced for so many centuries, all the way up to the 19th century, even the late 19th century? Why was bleeding such a common experience? It was because of the post hoc ergo propter hoc fallacy. There was a theory. The theory was that disease is caused by bad humors. Humors are in the blood. So if you get rid of the bad humors, then you get rid of the disease. And very often, what would happen was the person would get sick, you would bleed them, and then they'd get well. It worked. Cured. You see how this works? Once you believe that, you have a theory to back it, you have the empirical reality in front of you, nothing's going to dislodge it for centuries. Regular medical doctors bled people based on this fallacy. Now, the whole time, you had homeopathic and naturopathic doctors, other people in the medical profession, screaming. This went on all the way up until the 1910s, screaming that bleeding people was bad for health. This is not a good way to cure patients. You're taking away the life from them. The disease wasn't in the blood. Draining the blood is not going to cause it to go away. You need to quit these kind of invasive, insane medieval practices. But the profession wouldn't listen. They had a theory, and they had what seemed to them the empirical reality. This causes that. Even though they were completely wrong, nothing could dislodge them from that view. We do well to think about all the ways in which we're afflicted with this problem. I think about this all the time concerning antibiotics. You've been there. You know the story. Let's say you get a little under the weather, get a sinus infection, and we habitually call the doctor. We don't want to wait. Why not get better now? And the doctor's on a hair trigger. These days, the Zoom doctors, you can go into the doctor. Oh, here's your prescriptions. Spend money. Get your antibiotics. Get this, 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 and this. Okay, it's logged to the CVS. Here's my prescription. Here's my hundreds of dollars. Come home, take all the pills, and then 2 or 3 days later, you're better. And that becomes a habit. It just becomes a habit for us. And we think one thing causes the other. The doctor makes us well. What if it's not true? What if it's not true? Now, I'm not going to give any medical advice here at all. I'm not in any sense qualified. But I do want to tell a quick story about ear infections to illustrate the point. So when I was a kid, I got a lot of ear infections. My mother was of that generation, you know, God bless her, I love her dearly, but she was of that generation that trusted antibiotics and trusted doctors. And I would go to the doctor and, oh, he's got an ear infection, here's your antibiotics. I remember, I have the vaguest memory of my grandmother using oil in ears. Why not just put a little mineral oil in his ear? That would probably fix it. Well, I remember that much later and noticed that more and more people using this method. And I found it in a home remedy book that you can use a little bit of mineral oil instead of antibiotics. And I just got curious about it the other day and began to investigate this a little bit more. Well, it turns out the normal mainstream medicine says, oh, no, don't use oil in the ears. You should always use antibiotics. Well, I found a study from 2003 in the journal Pediatrics that was conducted by naturopaths, people who believe in herbal cures and things like that rather than pharmaceuticals. And they took several hundred kids, this is over a long period of time, with ear infections, gave them an herbal oil in their ear and amoxicillin, an antibiotic, and then an equal number on the other side and gave them just the herbal oil in their ear. In the end, they came up with the following conclusion. There was no difference in the recovery rates between the two groups. We'll just leave it at that. Okay, what does that imply? Well, at the very least, it implies that the antibiotics did not improve the outcome from the oil. It's very interesting, isn't it? So it's very possible, in a lot of the study, and it's just one study, and maybe there's many more, I don't know the literature that well, but it's very possible that our perception that antibiotics are essential for ear infections, inevitably followed by, not inevitably, but very often followed by tube replacement and other medical procedures, is an example of the post-hoc ergo propter hoc fallacy. We gave them meds, they got better, the meds is what caused it. Maybe not. We need to get a little more precise with this. Another good example of this is vaccine injury. Now, quite often you will see people claiming that a connection between vaccines and autism is an example of the post hoc ergo propter hoc fallacy. Vaccines, my kid has autism, vaccines cause the autism. And that would be indeed an example of the post hoc ergo propter hoc fallacy. Now, that's not to say the vaccines didn't contribute to the autism. It's only to say that saying one thing came before the other thing is not absolute proof of that. But you see, this cuts both ways, right? I mean, if people are saying vaccines are the greatest public health creation in human history, because look at this graph, polio went away, smallpox went away, measles went away, chickenpox went away thanks to the vaccines, you know, it's possible that maybe all these diseases had already obtained herd immunity and exposure, and the human immune system just got better at dealing with them over time through a variety of other circumstances. And indeed, if you look at the history of vaccines, you see that in every case when the vaccine came along, the disease was already on the decline. So you could just easily say that the wild claims about the effectiveness of not just the COVID vaccine, but all vaccines, is insanely exaggerated due to the post-hoc ergo propter-hoc fallacy. And I'm not saying that's true. I'm just saying that it cuts both directions. And there's a lot more work to do to try to discern causation between two variables in a multivariant universe where anything could plausibly cause anything else or possibly cause anything else. It's very difficult to isolate those factors. At least we need to be aware of the problem and not just trust when the media or the experts are saying, oh, look, this happened, then this happened, therefore this causes that. It may not necessarily be true. Look, we live in times where we need to be more critically minded, I would say, about everything. Do your thinking for yourself. Don't listen to the media where they tell you don't do your own research. What are you gonna do? Of course you're gonna do your own research, and you should. And research and read as much as possible in a space of freedom and openness and open inquiry and genuine love of science. Part of loving science is not committing fallacies. To believe that mitigation diminished COVID effects in the world is a fallacy. To believe that mass vaccination for COVID-19 caused it to go away is just quite simply a fallacy. I'm sorry, it's just true. So much of the literature on this topic can be just dismissed on these grounds alone. Finding causation is difficult. It's very difficult. It's possible, but you need good, robust data. The data alone will not speak to you. What you need is good, solid theory, something based and rooted in truth and in science. That's not easy, it's difficult. And nobody said this was gonna be an easy process. So I hope you've enjoyed this introduction to the post hoc ergo propter hoc fallacy, one fallacy among many. Remember, even in your investigations of science and discovering what is true, what is not true, what is fallacious, and what makes sense, to always put freedom first. That is not a fallacy. This is Jeffrey Tucker.